Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with life this day. Thank you, Father, for hedging us up, Father, for protecting us, Father, throughout our comings and goings throughout the week, Father. Father, we ask you, I ask you, Father, to forgive me for my sins, Father, and for being merciful unto me, O Yahweh, for the multitude of sins, Father, that I have committed throughout the week knowingly, Father, and even those, Father, that I may have committed unknowingly, Father, I pray that you, Father, have mercy upon me. I ask, Father, that you look after my brothers and sisters, my family and Yahweh, all of those who may be suffering from various ailments, Father, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, Father, that you send them the comfort that they need, Father, in their measure, Father, whatever it may be, Father, just look after them and hedge them up with your loving kindness, Father. And for my brothers and sisters that may need prayer, Father, I asked, Father, my brother said last night, that they pray to you a specific prayer, Father, that they don't hold back, that they let it go, Father, that they purge themselves of whatever may be hindering them and cry aloud to you, Father. And if they need support, prayer warriors, brothers, sisters to come to their aid, that they do not allow themselves to be alone, that they call on help, that they call for backup in the spiritual warfare that we are in, Father, that they understand they do not have to fight alone, that we are here to help one another. At some point, even though some of us are weak and some of us are strong, that at any point it could be flipped. And those who are strong at this point may become weak and may have to rely on the strength of those who at one point were weak. And based on whatever they experienced through their trials and tribulations, Father, that they come out, Father, with greater wisdom, greater understanding, and a stronger relationship with you. I pray for my Ema, that you continue to uphold her and strengthen her. I pray for my sister who is still recovering from her procedure. Both of my sisters that I came to find out are struggling or went through procedures, Father. I ask that you continue to heal them and uplift them, Father, and to do what the surgeons cannot do, Father, to do what the doctors cannot do, to do what the physicians cannot do, Father, and that is heal the body that you created, Father. Heal the body that the soul that you placed in, Father. Heal that, Father. I pray for my children. I pray for all the children within the congregation, Father, as my brother stated last night, his son, who is still by default a member of Beth Yahweh, that you look after him for his spiritual, his emotional, and his mental well-being, Father, throughout what he is going through, Father, and that he rely on the strength of you first and foremost and his Father. Father, this world is cruel. This system hates us. But Father, as you say in your word, you created the man who creates the weapon. But even though he may create that weapon, Father, you gave us a surety through your prophet, Yeshayahu, that no weapon that is formed against us, that is created to our harm, will ever work against us, Father. As your word says, Father, with you being for us, it's mightier than this whole world that hates us, hates you. And because we align ourselves with you, they hate us, Father, that it will not prosper, Father. You will always be our shield. You will always be our buckler. You are our redeemer. You are our savior, Father. And for that, we are grateful to you, Father. And again, look after all of us, Father. Our Zarkanes, our Zarkanas, the Ema, the Yaladim, the Abbas. Look after all of us, the Moreim, the Kohenim. Look after all of us and our extended families, Father, who are by default connected to you, Father, by the strength of us being connected to you, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of our Son, Yahushua, our Redeemer, our Savior, and we look forward to our King cracking open the sky Amen. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Family, I pray that I am coming through. I don't see any message that I'm not, no question marks, no nothing. No, is the mic on? So I'm going to assume at this point, and I don't like to assume, that all is well. So, Shabbat Shalom, Mr. Percussion, Brother Ahab L. once again with Beth Yahweh Congregation from good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is the fourth installment of my series, Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a Workman That Be Not Ashamed, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And today, excuse me, family, the topic of this lesson is, can Yah depend on your faith in him? He already told HaSatan he can't, because Yah has faith in you, family. And that's not some cliche. And the keynote is, or the keynote scripture rather is, thank you, my brother, says I'm clear, James 1:2. And it says, my brothers, and that includes my sisters, count it all joy when you fall to various trials. And that's an easier said than done statement, because as we discussed last week in our teacher study, our Moray study, that when you're going through them trials, you ain't feeling that. You ain't even trying to hear that. And I mean, I could attest to that from my own experiences. You know, a lot of times, you know, we hear these scriptures and you want to believe, and there's that part of you that does believe in it, that truly believes in it, but it's buried underneath the mountain of layers of the struggles that you may be going through. And when you come out of it, yeah, you go, you can look back on it in retrospect and say, yeah, it's true. But while you're going through it, while you climbing up that rough side of the mountain, while you trying to fit your fingers in them crevices and your fingers are bleeding, your toes are aching, your back hurts, and you just want to let go and fall off the side of that mountain, but somehow your faith and Abba strengthens you to keep going on a journey, you look back and you say, wow, Abba, you have been faithful. You have been true. You have been loyal. You believed in me in ways I never could. But thank you, Abba, for allowing me to go through these struggles, because now I am wiser for it. Now our relationship is stronger as a result of it. And little by little, step by step, I know you will pull me through. But how do you know that? Unless you've been tested, tried, brought to your knees, fall weak mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. You don't know the depths of what you can endure. But you know who knows? Abba knows. And we're going to see proof positive in his word today that he knows what you can endure. You know, it sounds cliche to say, you know, he don't put more on you than you can bear. But it's true. It is a truth. He will never put anything more on you than what he knows you can bear. He knows who you are. He knows you in ways you will never, ever, never, ever, 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 ever know. He knows you in ways that you will never discover in this lifetime. But all he wants to know and wants you to realize, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard, that you can tell that mountain, move, and it must remove from your presence. Literally as well as figuratively. that will happen. So anyway, tell you, family, always take the time to dig deeper. Always take the time to discover this word. Oh, as the sages say, turn it and turn it and turn it again. Keep digging up that soil. Keep breaking through, because you never know what you may have overlooked. You never know what you may discover. You never know beauty and what treasures and what jewels are there until you do that. And I tell you, as oftentimes as over the years, read certain scriptures over the years, and one of the things that Gershom and Daniel used to admonish us about, don't just read over it. Don't let them just be words on a page. Pay attention to what you're reading. Don't just skip over it. Yahweh placed every letter in there for a reason. Every word in there was by design, was on purpose. And it's true. Out of all the statements that he said to us over the years that we've come to find out as older men when we were little boys sitting at his feet, that so much that he told us is 100% true. So, Yahweh Elohim asked HaSatan a very important question. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably one of the most important questions that has ever been asked in scripture. And we're going to take a look at it. We're going to go to old Abba Job. Right? Turn there with me, my family. Okay. We're going to start at Job 1:6. And I'm going to start reading from the WEB. Okay. Again, starting at Job 1:6, when you have it, say hallelujah. Yep, I heard you. Now, on the day when God's sons came to present themselves before Yahweh, Satan also came among them. 1:7, Yahweh said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going back and forth in the earth and from walking up and down in it. 1:8, Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears Elohim and turns away from evil. Now, we know how the story goes. We know the rest of it. But that's not the point where I'm trying to go right now. But Yahweh asked a question of HaSatan. And when I tell you, family, it's a very important question. Now, I'm going to read it in Hebrew first, and then I'm going to go back and look at, and we're going to dig into some of these words, okay? So the question he asked in Hebrew was, Hashemet lebka al abdika yo, right? Now, it's translated as, hast thou considered my servant Job, right? But now I'm going to read one particular word, and hopefully some of us know just enough of Hebrew to pick up on this word. The second word that was read was lebka, right? Lebka. Leb, right? The lamet and the bet. Now, for those of us who know or have learned a little bit of Hebrew, you should understand what that word is, and that word is heart. For those who didn't know, the word leb in Hebrew is heart, the physical beating heart, but also what you are inside heart, right? That word is nowhere there in English. Nowhere there in English. So let's first look at the word consider. What does that mean, right? And I'm going to one of the greatest discoveries that I have come across, and that is the Free Dictionary, family. Give me a chance to get to it. Okay. the freedictionary.com, we're going to look at the word consider. And what does that mean? To consider. Because this was the question Yahweh asked of Hasatan. And then he made a statement specifically about him, letting him already know, I know what this man is. But I need you to understand something, Satan, as well as I need him to understand certain things. See, Yahweh is playing chess. He ain't playing checkers. And one of the things that I love about Yahweh is he is strategic. He don't do nothing for nothing. So if he offered up Job to Hasatan, if he gave him over to him, if you will, then Yahweh knew and understood something about this man. But guess, when you read the book, when you read the story about Abba Job, there were certain things he didn't understand about himself. But Yahweh had to bring that out. And he had to show Satan some things. Sure, you may got a lot of people out there, but those that are mine, they mine. And you can't have them. The only thing I'm going to allow you to do is help them learn certain things. The only thing I'm going to allow you to do is be my instrument for their understanding, my instrument for their wisdom, my instrument for their learning, my instrument for their edification, my instrument sometimes for their punishment. But at the end of the day, you are my instrument. And I use you as I please. And I'm teaching you some things too. Because you lack understanding. See, all you are at this point is bent on destruction. But I need you to know, you may be that weapon, but you will never prosper against my chosen ones. You will never prosper against my anointing. We're going to see proof positive in the word, right? So again, consider. If you got the freedictionary.com, go to the freedictionary.com and type in consider. And let's read this all together, family. The first definition, to think carefully about something, especially before making a decision. So the first thing Yahweh said to him, I done thought about it. I understand what I'm doing right now. But do you? But you're going to help me help Job understand what I have in mind about him. So Yahweh made a conscious decision when Hasatan appeared unto him to offer up his servant, Job. And again, his servant, Job. Second definition, to think or deem to be regard as, to suppose or believe, to take into account or bear in mind. And then it says to show consideration for, to look at thoughtfully. So Yahweh looked at Job thoughtfully before he presented this challenge to Hasatan. And of course, he willingly accepted the challenge. Why? As it was stated, he don't take a day off. Do he get bored? Yes, he do. Do he need stuff to do? Oh, yes, he do. He seeks to kill and destroy. That's all he wants to do. And especially those who are chosen of Yah. Especially those who are chosen of Yah, who have his anointing on them. But let's look at some more words here. Now the first word, let me see, I gotta find it first, family. Nope, we don't want that one. Nope, we don't want that one. We want this one. Hebrews. In your lexicon, Hebrews 7760, right? And the word is soon. Soon. Got a lot to scroll down, family. And it's a primitive root to use in a great variety of applications, literally, figuratively, inferentially, or elliptically. Anywise, a point, bring, call, a name. So now, one of the things I want all of us to do at this point is, have you considered my servant and place your name in there? Have you considered my servant? Put your name there. And then finish out the rest of the verse. Read it. Read it to yourself. While you have a moment, read it to yourself. Have you considered my servant Ahabel? And don't think about all what Job has amassed at that point. Let's understand this. Yes, you may be in certain circumstances, but as that song says, be grateful. They're worse off than you. If you don't believe that to be a fact, I challenge you. I challenge you. I challenge you. Come stand at the front door of my job for an 8-hour shift. I challenge you. Come help the people that come through that door on a daily basis. Come see the parents who have to go upstairs to the neonatal intensive care unit, to the pediatric intensive care unit, to the Stoller Pavilion, where you only go if you've been diagnosed with cancer. Or up to the medical ICU unit, the cardiac ICU unit, shock trauma. I challenge you, if you think you got it that bad, come in there and see from infant, preemie, to some of the oldest people you may encounter and what they struggle. Families are struggling with what their families have to endure. I know because I've been there on both sides, having to come in to Johns Hopkins University to look for a child of mine that was on the cusp of life or death. So you're struggling? Oh, yes, you are. Ain't nobody going to diminish your struggles. When I was struggling with mine, don't diminish my struggle. And I'm not just talking about what I went through with my child. I'm talking about just everything at some point. Ain't nobody taking nothing from what you're struggling with. Because it's realer than real when you're going through it. But when that song says there's worse off than you, I challenge you, come to the front door of that hospital and see some real stuff that's beyond people who coming in that would give all that they have just to get another minute of their loved one's life to be spared. Everything y'all see on the news that takes place here in the city or county, from law enforcement and firefighters struggling, them dudes in the street, they come through them doors, their families, their friends, their homeboys. And all them dudes that's out there living that life and thinking they hard, when they homeboy or homegirl is up in there and they don't know whether or not they're going to make it, trust me, you see a lot of tears come out of them hardened minds, hardened hearts, and hardened souls. You see a lot of desperation on their face when they understand that the angel of death has finally come to reach one of their loved ones, one of their people that they care about. So it's real. And again, not to diminish anything that anybody's going through, but know and understand, trust and believe. A lot of people out there struggling. So we're not the only ones. Came across somebody that I shared my experience with you the other day. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing I know about. When a woman comes in and she gives birth, and if there's no complications with the woman or with the child, you out within, they want you out within 48 hours tops. Unless you got some serious medical conditions going on. And young man that I had an interaction with that I shared with y'all not too long ago, he's been down there every day so far, seeing him for a week. Not going to ask what's going on. Don't know what's going on, but something's going on. Something for sure is going on. Because his lady ain't been discharged yet. So again, have you considered my servant? Put your name in there. So now when you look at the fact that it's talking about, and then talking about the word heart, do you know the heart of Job? Do you know what's in his heart? Have you considered his heart? You can't consider his heart because you don't know his heart. He don't even know his heart. Proof positive in the word. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. But before he did that, Abba told his prophet, Jeremiah, look at what he started off the book of Jeremiah with. He said, now Yahweh's words came to me. You're looking at Jeremiah 1:4. Now Yahweh's words came to me saying, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. But he said later on, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Yahweh says, I know it. I search the reins of your heart. So Yahweh goes through your heart with a fine-tooth comb, with his microscope, looking for things in there that are not aligned with him. And one of the things that I love, my favorite science is biology. One, because it didn't involve a lot of math. And two, it was just very interesting to me. And one of the things that you learn about in biology, when we start going through human reproduction and the stages of childbirth, when the egg and the sperm meet and it turns into the zygote, and then it starts to turn into the fetus, that the first thing that is formed, the first organ, rather, I should say, that is formed is the heart, with four chambers in it. Why not start with the brain? Why not start with the lungs? Why not start with the liver? Why not start with the intestines? Why start with the heart? And when he says, it was I who made you and formed you in the womb, I started with your heart. It starts beating. It starts sustaining that life within you before anything else is formed. And when I say anything else, I mean the organ. So it's self-sustaining from the very beginning, from your very creation, the one organ that Yahweh talks about the most. And in particular, I believe in this book of Jeremiah, he talks about heart a whole lot, circumcising your heart, or rather circumcising the foreskin of your heart, even telling Israel, that's the circumcision I'm looking for, not that piece on your pudunda, on your private area, man, that so many of us take so much pride in. Yahweh said, I could care less about it. He said, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. That is what I need. That's what I'm looking for. And sometimes he says, I got to do the cutting for you. I got to snip it for you. Isaiah 44. We ain't going to be long today, family. We got to make it and take it personal. This is a personal walk. Make this walk very personal to you. All of what these men experience in Scripture are for your benefit, are for you. All their struggles, their ups, their downs, their lefts, their rights, their stumbles, their tragedies, their triumphs, all of that. Excuse me. As the scriptures say, all those things that were written aforetime were written for your learning, my learning, our learning. If we're willing to learn the lessons, if we're willing to endure, if we're willing to be patient, if we're willing to exercise faith, to be honest, these last four lessons have been all about that. Faith. Above all, the shield of faith. It is so important, family. Not how much scripture you know. Not how many verses you can quote. Paul even says this, I'd rather speak five words with understanding than thousands and thousands in an unknown tongue. Know and understand his workings. That's what he needs for. He needs us to understand his workings. He has a set outcome for every one of us. Abba does. He has an outcome. He has a goal in mind for us. He has a destination he wants us to get to. He's trying to develop in us things that we don't know are there. Like any good coach, like any good teacher. They sit back and observe. And they know the talents you have that you don't know. They know the abilities you have that you have not discovered. They know that. This is why he made them seers. Seeing isn't just about seeing into the future. Seeing sometimes is seeing into the heart of a person. And it takes a special spirit to be given to an individual to be able to recognize that. Everybody can't be a talent scout. Again, my favorite sport, football. You have people specifically that go out there to scout people that are perfect for particular positions. Now, in one instance, they told this man, no, be a running back, be a receiver. He believed in himself. And he said, no, I'm going to be a QB. I want to be a quarterback. That's what I'm going to do. And he's proven every week he gets better and better at being the quarterback. Let me tell you something. I love football, and y'all may not understand it, but it is God's sport. Yah loves football. He's got a whole lot of spiritual stuff in football. And if you don't believe it, just sit down and we'll talk about it. 22 men on that field. Message. My brothers and I talk. Look at the difference. No other sport has certain animal figures in the sport that are represented in the Bible. The Rams, the Lions, the Eagles. No other sport has that all in it. No, don't. Then you have the man in there. In certain teams, you got the ox figurehead in certain team, on a particular team. There's a lot to learn in that sport. I'm sorry, but Abba has helped me learn a lot of things in that sport. Again, Isaiah 44. And one of the things you have in there, you have people who go out to seek talent at certain positions. That's their job, to have a keen eye to see. And you have one that's specific to each position that is on the field. You're not going to have some 300-pound quarterback. And you're not going to have some 100 or 200-pound down lineman, pass rusher. You're not going to have that. So he looks for a particular man to stand in the gap in that position, in certain positions. Telling you messages of that, but I love that sport. But anyway, anyhow, that's just me. He says, Isaiah 44:1, yet listen now, Yaakov, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you, says. Don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. And you can go to the ultimate of who this is really talking about. But again, make it personal. Make it personal. Make it personal. Yes. Stop going all the way up to the clouds and to the seventh heaven. Make it personal. Keep your feet on the ground. This is what Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you, says. Don't be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And they will spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am Yahweh's, and another will be called by the name of Yaakov, and another will write with his hand to Yahweh and honor the name of Yisrael. And sometimes I like what it reads in the King James Version. He said, you will take on the surname of Yisrael. So how a lot of people, like back in the day, Malcolm X got rid of his slave name, his government name. So many of us, and not saying you got to go out there and do it. Please don't take that, because that don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. You don't have to go out there and change your name. And there's nothing against that if you do. But at the end of the day, as Gershom and Dan, you say, it don't mean a hill of beans. But if it makes you feel better, if it does make you grow more in your walk towards the Almighty, by all means, do it. And nobody, nothing wrong with it. But if you're not changing who you are on the inside, it don't mean a hill of beans. You can call your name by the last name of Yisrael spiritually without putting it on a document of paper. But the main thing is living up to the standard that comes with that last name. And not throwing out there. Now it means not. People associate with a piece of land that they're willing to kill all sorts of people for. Psalms 139. And we're going to read the whole thing. Psalms 139. Kaf Lamed Tet. For the chief musician, a psalm by David. Yahweh, you have searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Yahweh, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You laid your hand on me. This knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty. I cannot attain it. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, the light around me will be night. Even the darkness doesn't hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness is like light to you. For you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And when you think about knitting, if you ever watch somebody knit or crochet, they sit there with their eyes on those two, on the needles. And you watch how their hands work. Just think that Yahweh did that with you. 139:14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. My soul knows that very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was made in secret, woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my body in your book. They were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. Do you understand that, family? There are days that are ordained to you. How dare you try to interfere with that? 139:17. How precious to me are your thoughts, Elohim. How vast is their sum. If I would count, but he's so merciful, isn't he? He's so merciful. If I would count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. If only you, Elohim, would kill the wicked. Get away from me, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do you hear that? Your enemies take your name in vain. Yahweh, don't I hate those who hate you? Didn't David hate that Philistine? He's speaking the truth right here. But you know what did Yahushua tell us? If they hate you, trust me, they hated me first. If they have become your enemies, trust me, they were my enemies first. Back to 21. Yahweh, don't I hate those who hate you? Am I not grieved with those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, Elohim, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Amen. Hallelujah. Last of the scriptures, family. Last of the scriptures. Not a long one today. James 1:1-18. James, a servant of Elohim, of the master of Yahushua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are in the desperation. Greetings. Oh, I'm sorry. Dispersion. My eyes got crossed. Which are in the dispersion. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do we understand that? See, Job was lacking some things. And Yahweh had to use Satan as a buffer against him so that those things that he was lacking, he would now be filled and be complete. But you have to endure. For instance, you want a bigger chest? And I mean bigger as far as bodybuilding, then you have to put in the work. And for those of us who have ever done any sort of physical activity, know that it sucks at first. It sucks big time. It is super duper painful. Took off from walking the stairs for a while, walked them for last week, and guess what? My legs hurt so bad to the point where I wish I hadn't done it. But now that my endurance has gotten back, it feels better. But I had to re-endure the pain from taking time off from doing it. But it's worth it now because it's gotten easier again. But at first, it was painful, very painful. So are these life circumstances. Sometimes our soul, our psyche, our spirit is in pain because it's getting worked out. How do you work out a soul? We know how to work out the body. How do you work out? So Yahweh has to do it for you. You don't know how to work out your soul. This is the one thing where we should get to the understanding that Yahweh has to be a part of it. How do you push up a soul? How do you squat a soul? How do you arm curl, leg curl a soul? How do you dip a soul? How do you crunch a soul? So Yahweh has to exercise your soul for you through life experiences, through painful circumstances, through trials and tribulations. But you know what gets stronger with each trial, each tribulation? Your faith, your ability to endure, at least it should. So your soul, your faith, your soul starts getting spiritual muscles. They get bigger and stronger. One, four, let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yah, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For that man shouldn't think that he will receive anything from the master. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Yeah, I'm going to pray for it, but I don't think you're going to give it to me. Okay. That means you don't really want it. As was stated previously, some things have to come through prayer and fasting. See, sometimes we get spoiled. We think, I prayed about, God ain't answering me, so maybe it ain't what I deserve. Okay? Daniel fasted for 21 days. And doesn't mean that that's the standard. That's the be-all, end-all. Well, I fasted 21 days. And it don't mean it wasn't a complete fast. Remember, what he only stayed abstained from certain things. So if Abba didn't answer you, how much did you endure in prayer and fasting before you decided, I'm going to give up? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give in to the will of the flesh. But see, he wants endurance. Now, granted, hopefully it doesn't have to go to the max, 40 days and 40 nights. But how much did you pray? How much did you endure? How much did you fast in order to get that? We used to this instant microwave, TikTok, 5 seconds, Instagram, 10 seconds. I prayed it ain't happened, so. But Yahweh said, okay, well then, this may require a little bit more. Isn't that what he told us in the word? So how much of that did you endure? How much of that were you willing to sacrifice in order to get what you claim that you so earnestly want? Or did that Did that parched tongue win? Did that growling belly win? Think about it. Before you say it don't work, before you say he didn't answer, again, he said, some things have to take place through fasting and through prayer. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. 1:9. But let the brother in humble circumstances glorying in his high position. 1:10. And the rich in that he is made humble, because like the flower in the grass, he will pass away. For the sun arises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flower in it falls, and the beauty of its appearance perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in his pursuits. Don't envy Jeff Bezos. And I'm talking about myself. Don't envy the millionaire. Don't envy the 100,000-aire. Don't envy the 10,000-aire. Because even though it may seem all well and good, how many of them are really happy? And how many of them have what you have? You see, we done had some multimillionaires. Matter of fact, the brother bragged. One of the things they never say about me is I'm the black billionaire. But when they backed him into a corner, he went silent on him. And don't say the man shut him up. No. If he really wanted to shout it from the mountaintops, the man would have never shut him up. If the brother ain't really mean what he was talking about, the man, he could have never been shut up. But like the rich young ruler, when he thought about all that he had to give up, he was grieved. So what was more important to him? Being on Wildin' Out, having his TV show? One dude maybe being in the NFL Hall of Fame. One dude maybe being one day in the NBA Hall of Fame. One dude probably being arguably one of the best rappers and best producers out there. That was more important to them. So this is why Yahweh said, I don't want lip service. You see, we see the prime example of those who said they will but didn't, and those who said they wouldn't but did. He said, who did the will of the Father? It ain't about what you say out your mouth. It's about your actions all day long. And you can light a fire, say all that slick stuff, but at the end of the day, if your actions prove otherwise, it don't mean nothing to Yahweh. Not a thing. As a matter of fact, you do more of a disservice than you do a service, because now people are going to judge you based on what you do, not what you say. And people were willing to see, waiting to see what you were going to do, and you didn't. So please, keep all that, oh, we the original Jews, original Hebrew Israelites, out your mouth. Because you ain't sincere. You just got some information, as we do in this TikTok, Instagram generation. We want to post it real quick for likes. But you was just clout chasing at the end of the day. And Yahweh don't like clout chasers. He want real people. And he said, 1:10, and the rich in that he is made humble, because like the flower in the grass, he will pass away. For the sun arises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flowers in it falls, and the beauty of it, of its appearance perishes. So will the rich man fade away in his pursuits. And he's talking about his business dealings. Blessed is a person who endures temptation. That was temptation when y'all were backed into a corner. That was your trial. That was your opportunity to prove whether or not you mean what you say or you just got a bit of information. 1:12, blessed is a person who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted. But now understand, this is where interpretations fail sometimes. He ain't talking about the same thing as a trial. This is talking about now something to tempt you to sin. Okay? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For the mighty one can't be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But he will allow Satan to bring something across your path. The very exact thing he knows you got a weakness for. For me, it's cheeseburgers. But if he knows it's going to catch you, if he can hook you with it and reel you in, and the whole time have you convince yourself you not being reeled in, he go for it. Again, let no man say, 1:13, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by Elohim, for Elohim can't be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one, 1:14, is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, produces death. Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation nor turning shadow. 1:18, of his own will he give birth to us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. And that's all I have today, family. Actually, I talked more than I really intended to, because, of course, that's your brother, Harbell, and I apologize for that. But short, simple lesson. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be to you, O Yahweh. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of life, health, and strength. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of trials and tribulations. Thank you, Father, for introducing yourself into all of our lives and calling us out, Father, and putting us in the palm of your hands, Father, for being the sheep of your pasture, the flock under your care, Father. Thank you for keeping your eyes upon us in all that we do, Father. Thank you for leading us on the right path, O Yahweh. Thank you for having mercy upon us, Father. Father, as we continue on with the Shabbat day, the brother who is coming forth to teach your message later, Father, we ask that you hedge him up, Father, because we know, Father, that the adversary, my brother stated last night, we ain't even going to put it on him. We know from example, Father, that it's something that you want us to learn. All we have to do is rebuke the adversary. As your word says, rebuke him and he will flee from our face. So, Father, give us the strength to rebuke these spirits that come upon us. Give us the strength to rebuke these situations that arise and to be strong in your faith and in your might, Father, and exercise our weaponry properly, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy son, Rabbi Malek Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mr. Baker. Shabbat shalom.
more.